Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday, and we are going to be taping, or we're taping in the end of May, but we're going to be airing this June 27th because we'll be taken off for the month of June, so we wanted to get ahead of this, and we're kind of excited to keep sharing what's going on. We have lots going on right now, and it's kind of a little bit fun because, Kathy, we get the chance to talk about things that we know at the moment, which is at this time is going to, usually we're only a couple weeks ahead on the end times deal, but we're going to be probably 3 or 4 weeks now. We're going to say some stuff. By the time this airs, a lot of it may have happened.
True. Very true.
And so when we say watch, you can say, well, I did watch and it already happened.
Yep.
So it's kind of fun to think about that and then know that, I mean, and the fun part for me would be, in a sense, it's happening in what I call lightning speed. And we had an opportunity with your son and daughter-in-law to share their story. And one of the part of their story was that God told them, and they'll be airing, I think, here in July, but
Yeah, end of July, early August, it'll air,
We're told, you know, this will happen swiftly. And we talked about when God says that, his definition is always a little bit different than ours. You know, our swiftly
that,
is like...
That soon or swiftly doesn't always look the way we think, right?
That's it, yeah. So that, but as we start to understand the overarching length of seasons and things that happen, particularly as we're thinking about eschatology, which is the study of the end, that as we're observing this, it's happening in lightning speed. You know, things are happening really quickly. And quickly, again, is, you know, months. It's not days or weeks necessarily, but it's happening. Instead of many, many years, it's many, many months. So I call that lightning speed. So because things are happening in lightning speed is that we can kind of say, okay, we see something happening here, and pretty soon we get to see, you know, the outcome of that. And we talked last time about Israel and, you know, the bomb and all that stuff. And so as we consider it, you know, and we'll have more discussion about Israel, particularly with Eric and Rabbi and Denny. Denny's going to come on. We're going to tape him before we take off, and he's going to kind of give us a summary of just, it's going to be just with him, and he's done some more research, and he's got such great perspective. That, you know, because Eric and Rabbi, they love their stuff, and they get into all the detail of it. What we wanted to do is back up a little bit and say, okay, Denny, give us kind of a summary, overview. Of where everything stands right
and
now.
And his perspective as a Messianic Jew is also fascinating, just to see it all come together, right?
So we'll talk more about that. But one of the things is, while that's going on, we're in the middle of a new administration, a Republican under Trump. And the original expectation was that because of what he did before and what typically Republicans do is they try to bring back a more robust economy right away. And people were expecting that because Trump is such a business, you know, mind. Well, it's not quite working out that way. And this particular subject does have direct bearing on all of us with decisions and marginal income and employment. And all these things matter because of the economy isn't what everybody thought. And we're in this place where we've never experienced this particular kind of trending ever before. So we're in uncertainty, great uncertainty. Well, if we're in great uncertainty, even more so, what do we need to do? Press in. Father, help us understand your will. What is happening? How is it going to impact me? And then what do you want me to, how do you want me to walk through it? Okay, so we're going to read a couple of sets of verses here, and then we'll kind of put all this together, and I'll bring some input about the economy. So if you go to, first of all, Ephesians 5:15-21.
See then that you walk circumspectly,
but not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
So he says that don't be unwise. Mm-hmm. And then he defines it. Okay, so he said, learn to live as a wise follower of Christ. Don't be unwise. Okay, and he says, unwise are fools. Okay, then he defines it. What? It says, rather, if you're going to be the opposite of unwise, so you'd be wise, is understand the will of God. And the word there, understanding, is receive it, process it, have perception, discernment, and clarity about the will of God, which involves you. Now, by the way, we can understand the dynamics of that because it can be what we call global. Mm-hmm. The things of the, like, for example, when COVID happened, interesting enough, it was a worldwide phenomenon.
Right.
Did it impact everybody in the world?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now it wasn't something that, you know, was related to me personally, but I got impacted as everybody else did by mm-hmm. the event of something that happened on a global scale. And that impact was, you know, certain things that I could and couldn't do. And how are we going to function? Like, for example, I don't know if you remember this, but when it first, particularly when it first happened in the first several months, they said, you can't gather anymore.
Right.
And we were told you can't gather, but we do retreats. Mm-hmm. And we gather people for retreats. And we had them all scheduled already. So now we were globally. Now, it wasn't because, Rich, you can't do a retreat, you know, this week or this month. It's like, that's the global,
right,
you know, thing that you're impacted by. Okay, Father, you know, what do you have to say about that? And the Father said, just keep doing retreats. Mm-hmm. I'll protect you with it. And we talked about, you know, well, how do we assure, because we don't want to be a spreader of right. COVID, and we don't want people coming.
And not being flippant of what's going on, but needing
yeah,
God to
walk you into
it. Yeah,
so it wasn't ignorant of that. It was, you know, how does that going to work? And how do we make sure that we don't have people, you know, come with COVID? And then secondly, is that we don't want to be a spreader of COVID. But you said to go ahead and have retreats. How are we supposed to do that? Okay, we prayed about that. And God said, well, I gave you, because we had a medical transportation business. He said, I gave you an answer to this already. You know, what? Mm. Well, this is when there was a thing called SARS and, you know, very high contagion. And our drivers were going in and out of hospitals, where, interesting enough, a lot of hospitals actually have more infection
than
normal
yeah.
places. So we went and prayed, God, what, you know, how are we going to do this? First of all, we can't have people get sick and not work. And then how are we going to not make sure that we're not a promoter or a spreader of the germs? And he showed us that two things. He said, have wipes in your cars and make sure mm-hmm. they all use those wipes all the time. And then two is that they gargle twice a day with Listerine. Mm-hmm. And it keeps it from getting through. And okay, so we did that. We didn't have one person sick the whole time.
That's awesome.
And we have 800 people mm-hmm. working for us. I mean, so it was remarkable. And we had leaders make sure that, hey, you know, don't neglect this. Everybody mm-hmm. needs to do it for your own benefit, for ours, for our customer and all that we did. Okay, so he said, I've already given you the answer. When your people come, you have them have wipes and they make sure they wipe. And then they all got to gargle with Listerine. Mm-hmm. And you got to ask them ahead of time, are you having COVID or symptoms of COVID? Mm-hmm. If you are, you don't come.
Right.
He said, so you do those three things, but you still do things. Even though they said you can't, he said, it's okay. I'm giving you permission to go ahead and do this. And, you know, don't make a big deal out of it, but just, you know, keep doing your retreat. So we did. And we didn't have one person get sick.
Love it.
You know, and because why? Well, there's wisdom that comes from God, even though a global something happened mm-hmm. that impacts us, which we had to understand. You know, it wasn't to ignore it. It was to say, okay, now that we see that happening, you know, how is that going to go? So for us, it's going to be the economy, because that's going to impact everybody that lives here in the United States. And of course, we're impacted by the world economy as well, of what the outcome is going to be for me personally. And what, Father, would you say? He said, well, don't be foolish, He says, be wise, redeem the time. And the word there, by the way, buy back the time. Because he said the days are evil. And the word evil isn't dark, awful, black. It's full of annoyance, frustration, irritation, things that bother you, policies that don't make sense, events that don't make sense, but they're going to impact you.
Right.
So those days are happening and they're going to happen. And don't think you're exempt from that. So don't be foolish and just ignore it all, but rather redeem it. Redeeming means buy back the time. And restore, have me restore back the life that I have for you because circumstances don't limit what I can do.
Right.
So understand what the will of the Lord is. And he says, if you do, you speak to each other, the words of God, the hymns of God, the songs of God, the truth of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit because you're going to have to surrender your will to him and receive this wisdom. And then he said, submit to one another. And the submitting to one another isn't, I'll do what you want. It's I'm going to surrender to you. And we just had, again, we just taped Josh and Emily, and they really gave a pretty good definition of that, was that submitting to each other wasn't, I'm going to make sure that we reach agreement together. Mm-hmm. It's that we individually submit to God.
Right.
And I encourage you to submit with me.
Mm-hmm.
And as we do, let's go seek God's will, knowing his best and none better, and wait until he delivers. And by the way, the burden is on him, not on us.
Right.
He's got to deliver that answer. And so submitting to each other is, are you willing to join me in following God? I'm willing to join you in following God. And I respect that the Holy Spirit in you can speak as easily as he can in mine, in me. And we submit to God through our life together.
Right.
So it's really a beautiful thing. So he kind of says, you know, redeem the time, seek wisdom, and ask for it. Okay, now go over to Colossians chapter 1 and read verses 9 through 18.
Sure. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created in him and through him, created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence.
Yeah, in all things he may have preeminence, maybe be first. Okay, then he says that, I pray that you're filled with the knowing of God's will, and we assist each other in that process.
Right.
You know, what are you hearing? Do you understand the dynamics? You know, like, for example, the economy, which we'll talk about in a second. There's things happening that God says pay attention. Now, the whole thing about God's will is, I'm going to give you some information. I don't want God speaking to us. I don't want you to take that information and decide what to do with it.
Which we are so prone to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we could, you know, easily, you know, like, for example, because what I'm going to share with you about things that are happening economically, that could generate fear. Oh, well, then I will. See,
right.
I'm going to. And wait a minute. God says, I'm not asking you to do that. I am asking you to pay attention and receive information that I'm going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to show you some things because I need to give you a heads up. And I need to guide you, particularly ahead of time, to get ready for certain things that I see happening downstream. And the signals are there today that I want you to pay attention to without you deciding what to do about it.
Right.
Together, be filled with the knowledge of my will.
Mm-hmm.
And that you'll know what it looks like so that you walk worthy of him, that you'll be fruitful in every good work, which he says, by the way, your life is going to still have fruit to it because that's my purpose. And you'll increase in knowing who I am. And then you'll be strengthened with power and might to have confidence, not to be afraid, but to be very confident that his will is best and none better and he can deliver it. And he says, I've given you the opportunity to walk with me in the kingdom. I'm preeminent and I'm above everything and over everything. Don't worry, I can handle this. Okay. And he says, put me first, seek my will, seek wisdom. Don't be foolish. And then he says, if you do, now go to Colossians 1 and read verses 20 and 21.
It says, 20 and 21. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled.
Yep. So he says, I'm going to restore everything back to its original condition. And remember, that's what we teach in Abiding, is that these seven exceptional things that were part of life prior to the fall, which was authority, provision, work, marriage, and fellowship, and intimacy, health and healing, identity, that you're a child of the King and you're have communion with God. He says, I would like to, and that's what that word means. I'm going to bring back to harmony the circumstances of life for you to live out this way in a life that is not going to be the Garden of Eden.
Right.
You're not exempt from a fallen world with a fallen nature. But I can restore you in spite of the circumstances to still enjoy life and to have the fullness, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with joy and songs in spite of it all.
Which is really learning to walk in the kingdom while on earth, right?
While on earth. And he says, the key to it, seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Put me first. Let me tell you. Let me show you the way. Don't be bothered by the circumstances. I do want you to understand the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll deliver it. So like, for example, Jeremiah said, hey, if you're not following God, if you repent, God will not bring judgment against you and have you be captured and destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not repenting. We don't believe it. Oh, God says, well, then you're going to be captured and destroyed, which they were. Mm-hmm. Nebuchadnezzar came from Babylonia. After they said, we're not repenting, and the judgment was coming. Now, by the way, did that impact everybody in Israel?
It did.
It did. Okay. And now he says, I know there's still some of you that would like to follow me. Your leaders aren't, and the nation isn't. So you're going to get impacted by that. But if you have a heart to follow me, and he calls it the remnant is those that have a heart to follow despite what the rest of the body is doing, you know,
right,
the nation of Israel or the church or whatever. If you have a heart to follow me, you get to be the remnant. He said, now what I'll do for you, you're going to be captured. You're going to have your temple destroyed. You're not going to be able to do all these things that you used to do. You're not going to live the way you used to live at all. You're going to be in a foreign country under foreign leadership. I'm going to still give you the covenant. If you have a heart to go, let's go. Now, he said, the instruction is don't stay in the city and fight Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. If you do, you're going to get killed.
Right.
I want you to go out of the city, basically wave the white flag and say, I surrender. I'm going to go back with you.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and be captured and go back peacefully back to Babylonia. There, I'm going to bless you. Now, I didn't remove the circumstances.
Right.
In the middle of those circumstances, I can make it so that you can be blessed. Okay, now we have a great example of that. The book of Daniel.
Right.
Daniel was one of those kids that was taken to with his family. Mm-hmm. We're part of the remnant. We believe it. We're going to follow you. Okay. And we get a great story of 75 years. Now, he has a few tests in there, but 75 years of just blessing and bounty
and
covenant
in God's
life.
Favor.
Yeah. And in the favor of God, because he had a heart to go. And so what God says is, don't get fuzzy and say, God changed the circumstances. Or I'll develop my own test of faith and say, whatever happens, happens. And I'll just trust God to take care of me. He said, I'll take care of you. However, you got to follow what I have to say. And you got to be got to be surrendered, filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking wisdom of what I'm going to lead you to step by step by step. So for us, we need to understand that there are economic things happening. So our GDP, it's measured by growth in what they call gross domestic product.
Mm-hmm.
Well, over the last two quarters, it has declined.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're potentially heading toward a recession, which then dictates people's views of investment and employment.
Right.
We're talking about companies. You've had negative inflation is still high.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively speaking. And so the cost of things, which means our marginal income is getting less and is costing us more. So for example, 60 to 70% of the American population is living with the inability to maintain their payment of bills month to month to month. So they're using credit cards.
The credit
because
card debt's crazy.
Inflation has outstripped them, has outstripped their income. There's big changes in unemployment with, like, for example, Amazon just laid off, 2,000 people. Well, wait a minute. Amazon's booming. Why would they be doing that? Because they see it coming. And they're getting ready for it. And there's big companies that are getting ready for it. Consumer confidence has dramatically declined when it was originally, when Trump came in, very strong. And they're saying, this isn't what we thought was going to happen. And the confidence is changing to the negative. And because of Trump's tariffs, that is completely in flux right now. It's so extreme that if it remains extreme, basically inflation will just overwhelm everybody.
Right. And as of the day of taping this anyway, the judges just came down and said that the tariffs are not even legal under the premises that Trump has brought them to. I'm not sure what all the ins and outs.
Well,
they
just said he doesn't have unilateral power to just go do it. And he's got to involve the legislature. And well, that will change things. And where does that wind up? And it throws everything into uncertainty.
Every day is a new little nuance. So talk about chaos, right?
What it means is that as an economy comes to a place of extreme uncertainty, everybody kind of stops. It's like, I can't go do anything because I don't yet know.
Right.
And since I don't yet know, I'm not going to invest in this. I just was working with a CEO of a development company. And they met, they had a big project that was ready to launch. Mm-hmm. And they met as a group and we were talking about God's will and all this. And they saw, you know what, the best thing we can do, and it's going to cost them $1 million to stop the project, is we're stopping the project.
Right.
Because of what we see down the road, we're not going to go do it. Well, guess what? That impacts all those laborers. It impacts all the people around them that serves them food. And I mean, think about all the ripple effects.
The ripple effects are huge, right?
Because they've decided it's so uncertain, we're just going to do nothing. And when we do nothing, we don't invest and keep things going, and everything then goes to a recession because of it. Okay, one more factor, and this just happened, is that Japan, by the way, is a mess, as is China and most of the other countries of the world. But they recently, what they do is, just like the United States for the treasuries, it's called a bond auction for fixed income, where you say, I'm going to buy $1 million worth of this, and I get paid back 4% interest or 5% interest. And Japan just did that, trying to raise, money for the government through their bond auction. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Nobody came. We don't have enough confidence, even at the interest rate you're offering, that it's going to be worthy. So we're not even coming. And America just did a U.S. Treasury auction. They didn't have nobody come, but they had way less people come to the table to say, I'm investing. So everybody's saying, we are going to wait. And if we wait, and here's the impact of it, everybody, is that the indicators, and that just alone with the debt issue, is it means likely there's going to be a recession. And it could be fairly deep, which would be, yep, Linda's let me know, she's got to go. Okay, see you, honey. So it means that, as we look at it, is that if we're going to, first of all, use like a mortgage or something, it's going to be at a higher rate. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be harder to sell a house, by the way.
Right.
And then two is that if the company I'm with sees things a certain way and or experiences things a certain way, is my job safe? Maybe I'm going to get laid off.
Right.
What does that mean? That I won't have as much income, and how am I going to pay my bills? And it has a lot to do. Now, the neat thing is, and which we just talked about, is God says, if you seek me, I'll give you my will, and I'm going to guide you to still the covenant in the middle of all that.
Right.
The only reason, which is what happened to the Israelis who didn't listen, if you aren't willing to follow me, you're going to suffer the consequences, even though you're my children. And the ones in Israel that stayed and said, we don't believe it, guess what? Men, women, children, animals, they all got killed. Mm. And God said, that's what's going to happen to you.
Right.
And the only way to protect it is walk with me.
Right.
And so be careful that you don't set up a false sense of, well, God will take care of me anyway. He said, you're not exempt from the trouble. Mm-hmm. I have an answer for the trouble, but you're going to have to ask me to give you that answer.
Right.
So anyway, we'll talk more about that as we go.
So I know we need to wrap up for today, but I'm just going to put on your radar. Sometime I would love to have a discussion with you on, because there were lots of news things today, even in like the morning brew, talking about Bitcoin and the sudden surge in investment in Bitcoin. So I would love for us to talk about what that looks like too.
Great. Let's talk about that. That's an interesting, that whole thing is really interesting. And you talk about needing wisdom. But
yes, so it is fascinating to watch it, but I'd love to hear more.
It's fascinating and it is happening. And it's a new dynamic of the economy that we need to understand. And the key is don't get swept up on it, but also don't ignore it. You know, so let's do that. Let's make sure.
So let's bring that up. And then the other reminder that just as we talk about anything with economics, just the constant reminder that at the end of the day, we are to watch, to seek his wisdom. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And our faith is in him as provider, not in a system. Not even in our jobs, not in the economy, but what do you have to say, God? And how do you want to walk me into this? How do you want to provide? How do you want to provide covenant? And what steps do I need to take in response of obedience to walk into that? He is the provider.
And by the way, we can
get fearful if we're not careful when we hear all of these things. We can get our eyes on what we think is our provider when it is not.
And that, some people will be laid off, other people won't. And God said, no, you're safe, you're good. So he'll let you know. And then two is that if you're a leader of a company or particularly an owner of a company, if you start to see this, your question before God is, how would you have me function with a lower profit? You know, in other words, should we all take pay cuts and make everybody still employed and not do a bunch of layoffs and wait through this? You know, so there's, like you say, be careful. There's zero system. There is no prescription at all. The only thing would be go ask God.
Right.
And he'll let you know.
The wisdom that he's giving us should drive us back to his feet to ask more questions.
Right. And because of what's happening in the world, and this is why we do the end times, is that there are global things happening that are important to watch. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're trying to raise up that visibility. But we don't have any answers per se of what you should do, but rather we know who you should go to.
Yes,
absolutely. So Heavenly Father, we lift that up. We thank you that we are understanding some of these trends that are happening economically, particularly with these bond auctions. That's kind of a big thing that is going to really impact the world if there's no people willing to step up to those purchases. And so we just pray that we'll understand what that means and where that goes and how it's going to impact us, for all of us to redeem the time by seeking you first and asking for wisdom, which you will promise to give. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.